history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guard, Rob Bollock.
Morning, Rob.
Morning. I can't get that image out of my head, that last thing you said.
I know, me either. Wow, four Ozzy Osbourne clones. Who would your dream concert be?
You keep putting me on. I'm not going to say. I can't cope with all this pressure.
Too much pressure.
Right, now, over the last few weeks, I've been keeping it quite light, this, because there's so much going on. We don't want to freak each other out.
Fair enough.
But if anybody's got any suggestions, send them in.
Send them in. 5395.
But I've got three nice little ones here. For me. I didn't realise they both come from, two of them come from 2006, but they're quite interesting. Sometimes stories go past and we miss them.
Yes.
These are really good. Right, in 2006, a Greek court ruled it was no longer illegal to worship Greek gods.
Was it illegal at one point?
Why was it illegal?
It was illegal. I don't know why. I don't know what the punishment was. I couldn't find that out. But it took nearly 2,000 years, but those who worshipped the 12 gods of ancient Greece finally triumphed when a court in Athens ordered that the religion that worshipped Zeus and Hermes that lot was unbanned.
Well, that is very good to hear, I have to say.
Well, the followers who said they defend the genuine traditions, religion and ethos of the ancients by adhering to a pre-Christian polyesthetic culture, which that means you worship more than one thing.
Got you. That's the word of the day.
All they wanted was for the government to recognise that religion. It finally happened. It took them 11 years.
So that's 11 years of court proceedings and trying to get them to say it's all good.
Yeah.
And centuries of trying to get it across the line
This thing here, but Greece's powerful Orthodox Church took a really uncharitable stance, accusing the worshippers of idolatry and poisonous New Age practices.
Oh dear, that doesn't sound good.
This is the start of it, right? Father Estasios Kollas, who presided over the community of Greek priests, said they are a handful of miserable resurrectors of a degenerate dead religion who wish to return to the monstrous delusions of the past.
Aye. That's
calm
not very
down,
nice.
Vicar. Behave yourself. That's not very like Christian-y, is it? Really,
Live and let live, or loving your neighbour.
Yeah, I can believe that. But yeah, good luck to them.
Good luck to them.
I mean, it's why they're not bothering no one. Who cares? Right. Second story. This another 2006 one. Security guards at Australia's Parliament were banned from calling MPs mate.
Ooh. What?
The ban was lifted within 24 hours for being un-Australian.
So this is the very Australian one you sent in. You said,
"Yeah."
When you were giving me the topics this morning, you're like, "One is about Australians being Australians."
I tried to keep them as vague as possible.
I like the mystery. This is quite mad.
I'd love to know why they banned it in the first place.
Yeah.
A couple of people there at Parliament said they didn't like it. They found it offensive.
Oh, maybe they should have kept the ban then.
But within 24 hours, there was such... I couldn't believe it.
Such
when
an
I, like,
outrage.
Get out yesterday. Yeah, Australia went bonkers over it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't it great when things were a lot simpler?
Take us back to the mate debate times, truly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, everybody. You imagine talkback radio would have just gone off the dials. No pumas would have been eating, though.
No.
There you go.
I can just imagine old ScoMo. Didn't he do that speech being like, it's un-Australian to hoard toilet paper? That's my ScoMo impersonation. Can you just imagine that being like in the news, being like, it's un-Australian to not call each other mate?
Yeah. Good for them.
I'm trying to picture the context in which they were calling each other mate in Parliament.
Hey, mate. I disagree with your point there.
Just seems an interesting nickname.
It does. Know? Hey, what was your other topic there, Rob?
All right, now this one, Grizz is going to be all over this one. I can't get the... Oh, hang on. Fairies used to ride, in Welsh mythology, fairies ride corgis into battle.
Sorry, fairies ride corgis into battle.
I cannot
In get, Welsh mythology.
I cannot get that image out of my mind. You imagine 100 of them.
100 little corgis with fairies riding
coming
them.
At
that
you
is
with
the
fairies
most
on them.
Beautiful thing I've heard in Yonks.
Apparently, fairies created dwarf dogs or corgis either to ride them or to pull their carriages.
Ooh.
When they weren't riding them, the fairies would send the corgis out with the children to play with them and keep them safe.
I've never been more proud to be a quarter Welsh.
Thing is, seriously, a corgi, I would have got like a tiny little staffy.
Oh, a little staffy.
No, I feel like corgis are way cuter, Rob. What are you talking about?
If they're riding them into battle, do you want a cute dog?
But they're fairies.
Just laugh at them.
But then wouldn't one... Okay, one, that would throw them off because they'd be like, this is just silliness.
Good tactics,
Yeah, exactly. And they'd just want to pat them and it would
But who are they going into battle with?
No one wants to fight. You don't want to, you know?
You know, like, maybe you want to calm the energy. Tess, this is like the pacifier's way of sort of getting in there on your corgi.
Why do you have to, you know, why does it all have to be vicious and scary? It could be cute
and fun.
I
see what I've done. I actually found this really good photo of a fairy on a corgi, and I've actually got it on my phone now. I can't stop looking at it.
Did you say it's a photo of a fairy on a corgi?
Yeah.
Can you send it to me?
A real fairy on a real corgi. It's a photograph. Someone took it with a camera.
Yeah, no, I just did it in the back garden just now.
Oh, nice. Great. I'm glad to see that the nature is healing.
So that's them free now. I've done a little poem today.
Yay!
When I go shopping, there's a park that's opposite Papakura Railway Station.
Oh,
and there's always two magpies in there. And I name them Ronnie and Red, the magpie twins.
Nice.
And I always stop and have a little chat to them because I really, really love magpies.
I love magpies
too. They look like crows that have got real black. They got a black suit on and a white shirt and a black tie. If you got more than six of them, it looks like something out of Reservoir Dogs, I think, if you see them all together.
Oh,
don't you think they look a bit scary?
No, I like them. So this is my little poem to Ronnie and Red, the magpie twins.
I'm ready.
All right, Ronnie, how are you doing, Reg? I'm slipping down the supermarket to get my weekly meat and two veg. I always stop to have a chat. I talk about this and you talk about that. And last week, Ronnie told me he'd dive bomb a cat. To some people, you got a bad rep and I don't know why. To me, you look super cool and you can fly. I suppose it's because you got a wicked-looking beak, but us three are solid. See you boys next week.
Hey, I love that.
Rob, these are amazing, these poems. And I just wanted you to know that Lillian printed out the poem that you wrote for Rick and put it on his desk for him.
I actually spoke to him the other day and I said, I'm sorry to put you under all that pressure knowing that you've got to be there before the end of the person's next song.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, we've just had a text in, Rob, that from a postie, so this is a very verifiable source here, saying that corgis are hard as, and so they believe that they'd definitely be an amazing fairy war dog.
What does that mean?
This sounds like a postie who's had a run-in with a corgi.
That's a band name, I call it, Fairy War Dog.
Fairy War Dogs, that's a great band name. Hey, Rob, thank you very much for that, and thank you for another wonderful poem. I'm enjoying these
thank
a lot.
Keep
them coming.
Keep the poems coming.
I've got them all written down. I need someone to help me publish them.
I will. I'll help you. We can figure it out.
Cool. We should submit it to Zinefest. We can make a poetry zine of Rob's poems. Submit it to Zinefest. Hey, Rob, I couldn't play the song you sent us because it's 100% New Zealand music week. That's all right.
I forgot.
You don't need to apologise at all. I've picked a damn native track for you instead. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah, that's what I would have said. I hate being put under pressure. I can't cope with it.
Well, I'll ask you next week then what your dream lineup would be, and you've got a week to think about it, eh?
They have to be alive.
Nah, they can be dead or alive. Or both. Buddy.
This is like the dream dinner party, but concert version.
Concert version, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we will talk to you in a week's time.
Aretha Franklin and David Bowie just to kick it off.
Yep.
All right.
That sounds like a very good warm-up act. Warm-up acts there.
Sweet.
Hey, thank you very much, Rob. We'll talk to you again.
People send in ideas.
Yes, 5395. That's the number.
Thank you.
See ya.
Until next week. Have a good week. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.
Someone has